Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. And the NFL trying to get stuff. I know it's the offseason. Trying to get stuff that's interesting to talk about. And it's a dud. It's all gambling policy stuff. So we're going to go ahead and put that at the end of the show. Just because I think I gave my thoughts on it last time. And we'll see how we get around to it. But the NFL, they're kind of doing it to themselves because they're advertising gambling everywhere. It's part of like fantasy. We talk fantasy on here all the time. That's like a form of gambling. You can do fantasy and wager per person if you really want to. You can do all kind of prop bets. They talk about it for the Super Bowl all the time. And so the NFL has it kind of ingrained in the sport now. And then trying to keep it away from players, which, yeah, makes sense. But I feel like these are young guys coming into the league now. And I think it was easier for guys like Tom Brady's age that were old, that like didn't have that extra push. Because I feel like baseball did a good enough job for all professional sports with like hating Pete Rose, that it kind of scared athletes straight. Pete Rose, he's not showing up at WrestleMania anymore, Matt. People don't know who he is. Like, they're not, I feel like the younger athletes aren't afraid of gambling like people were 20 years ago, if that makes sense. But we'll talk about that later. Do you have anything you want to add before we get rolling?
No, let's get after it.
I don't even know how much I have. We'll see how much Matt has for the show. The main thing that came across is that EA Sports is hit with a lawsuit over their college football video game. College football, it's a game that I like because unlike Madden and the other sports games, there's more of a variety. Because like if you think back to Tecmo Bowl coming out, there was a limited number of teams. Tecmo Super Bowl comes out, gives you the entire NFL. Then they work on improving the graphics. Now, at this point, the game hasn't changed very much at all. And in the NFL, the ratings for the players are so close that it's not really a challenge to win the Super Bowl. You can keep jacking up the difficulty, but at some point the game becomes broken where it's like, hey, I made a perfect throw and the defense is just way faster than my guy now and he can easily intercept it. And so it just doesn't become fun. If you're not playing against people, then it's not as fun. Where college football, there's like 100-something teams. So if you play the game enough and you're like, yeah, you know what I want to do? I want to try to build my dynasty and have a pure franchise mode, unlike Madden, where the ratings and the salary cap stuff are too close. You can do a piss-poor job drafting your guys and whatever and still win the Super Bowl if you're good at the game. Where in college football, you can be a team that's way crappier than most of the big programs where your team just absolutely stinks. And so throughout the regular season, you're playing teams that are kind of on your level. Like, I don't want to throw teams under the bus by calling out teams, but let's just say you pick a team in a lesser conference that might be ranked like 100 something out of whatever. And you can see as a coach how long it takes you to actually make that team into a dynasty. And over time, the recruits start coming in, and then the game gets easier and easier, and then you kind of restart with a different team. But it adds a different element that I think Madden can never, ever replicate. And the other thing that I miss is with the old college and Madden games, you could import your draft class into Madden. So if you were playing Dynasty and Franchise at the same time, and you really liked like a recruit you brought in, you could put him on your Madden team and continue his career in like the NFL or whatever. But they kind of got away from it. And this lawsuit is, they're alleging that EA Sports is reaching out to certain players. And of course, that's the NIL era. They're reaching out to players. Think of some players like Blake Corum, quote, went pro. Michigan running back decided to come back. maybe they're reaching out to him saying like, hey, you could be one of the top running backs in the game. Let's get it rolling. Let's put you in here. Maybe on the cover, you know. You never know who they're reaching out to or whatever. And this group is alleging that they're representing a group of players. And EA Sports is just ignoring the players that are signed to their deal. And I really honestly don't care. Right? I don't care if there are players in the game. The players make no difference. Because in the old game, you had numbers. Because they weren't allowed to have player names. And so you could simulate, like I would simulate those or just randomize it where it would fill in random names. Just yeah. So you didn't have to look at the numbers, right? You kind of knew who was who. Where it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go ahead and beat Denard Robinson, like run around crazy. He's on the cover or whatever. So it's like, all right, awesome. I can be this player or that player. And you know by based on the number. But in college, the way it works, like you're not having them for 20 years. Yeah, for like a year or two, especially if they're a guy most likely that you know, they're most likely not really a freshman, so you only have them for a couple years before they'd go pro. And so I don't think, at least to me, I want to get your thoughts on this, but if college football game comes out today, I'm not paying extra for players' names. Do you agree?
Well, if it came out, I would likely end up getting it because God knows how long it's been since the last one came out.
It was 2014 was the game, so that means 2013, right? So 10 years?
Yeah.
But next year is when it comes out, I think. So that would be 11 years.
But I don't know, like from what my understanding is, they're doing a flat rate $500 a person. And I think, like, that's a lot of money.
To get them in the game?
To be able to use their stuff on there.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of bigger players that kind of Barry Bonds it, right? Where they don't sign up. Because they feel like, hey, I'm the face of the league. If you're not going to pay me more, I'm just not going to be in it. And I realistically don't care, right? Like, even if, like, let's say Blake Corum, since I used him earlier, let's say Blake Corum doesn't sign and I have to play with random jabroni at my running back on Michigan, I really wouldn't care, right?
But like, see, since I saw the article earlier, the one thing that I was thinking is, if you decide not to, are you going to end up getting your pantsuit off because they're using, whether they use a number, whether they use a random name, if it's still like your body, your measurements, like you could, someone would find the loophole to turn back and decide that they're going to sue and say, well, this is who I am. Like, you're not naming me, but this is me. And just completely stall the whole thing out.
Well, I wonder if they just don't have the player. Right? Like, I wonder if they can totally get around it. Because, like, Barry Bonds was a totally different guy. Like, I wonder, I'm going to look it up and see if I can find what they actually used. But it definitely wasn't him in the game.
Jay Dowd.
Is that who it was?
Huh?
So they have him, Jay Dowd or whatever. It's a totally different guy. In college, it doesn't even matter. You can go ahead and what did it say? It said John Dowd is a real person. So he was a video game creator and he made himself Barry Bonds. Which, like, for real, if... Like, hey, what, that's the best way around it, right? I mean, I don't know how many players are in the NFL, but like, I don't think EA Sports has that many, or college, I don't think EA Sports has that many like random guys laying around. But for how many of the top players are there in a given year? Like 25 or so, right? 30? that would demand this preseason, right? Because the game comes out before the season. So yeah. I'm wondering, what if every year you just have the game developers fill in for the top players that don't sign? And it's just like, hey, I'm not being you. I'm taking your spot. And I wonder if you do that for a year or two, maybe you should email EA Sports, because I think that'd be a good idea. If they take the top player spot and it's like some random game dev, I guarantee the players will just assign to the deal just because it helps them get NIL money elsewhere. Right? Because the kids are going to play the game. They're going to become attached to said player. And then they're going to want to be that player or try to do extra things like that. But beforehand, like before that deal happens, I feel like there has to be some type of pressure on the players and them holding out and like trying to kill the game. Like, I just hate it because to me, it's the teams. Like, it's the college, it's the stadiums. That's what's driving the sales of the game. I'm not buying it because of some, like, because I could play like as Tim Tebow, let's say, back in the day. Right? He's not enough to make you pay for a video game. Otherwise, he would have his own video game like Jackie Chan did. Right? Because, like, even LeBron, he did, like, that Space Jam, like, Looney Tunes type thing. Like, that wasn't even a big enough name for him to kind of do his own game. The only player that I think did was, what, Shaq? And I'm not counting, like, Ken Griffey Jr. that kind of just signed off, or, like, Joe Montana that signed off on, like, a version of their own game. But, like, Shaq had his own fighting game or something. Shaq Fu or something.
Shaq Fu.
So, yeah, like, LeBron's not having that. Because I feel like people aren't going to go ahead and try to be like LeBron in their free time. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But we'll see what happens. I'm optimistic. We'll say that. I'm optimistic that a deal gets done. I hope it does, because I want to play the game. But it's mainly because I want to play as Michigan, not because I care about the players.
I feel like towards the end, though, with like NCAA kind of peaked with what they could possibly do within the scheme of the game, and it just became towards the end, like it was just we're updating rosters
every year. You mean?
Yeah, like it was getting to where there really wasn't a lot of changes within the gameplay.
Well, see, I think that's where college went above Madden. Because what the college starts to do is they start to implement more of a playbook variety. Because if you remember, I was running that Wildcat spread offense. You couldn't do that in Madden.
No.
And like, because you didn't see that, like you're playing other people or whatever. You come up to my house or whatever, and you're like, let's play a game. I pick some random team and I'm running the Wildcat spread. I can beat the crap out of you because you're like, how the heck do I defend this offense? It's weird. But like somehow he made his own playbook and that's his playbook, right? Where in Madden, that doesn't change. Like they're not adding in Wildcat spread offenses, you know? Because I was running like a modified Rich Rod slash a lot of jet action I had. I can't even remember what playbook that was. But like you could send your own players in motion and hand them the ball and like do option pitches and stuff that I don't think you can do in Madden. In fact, I'm pretty sure you can't do that at all, right? So, like, the college game had the option game because of Army and Navy that ultimately gave you an extra variety. But to your point, the rest of the game was the same. And they never really fleshed out, like, Dynasty. I felt like that was a missed opportunity where, heck, now it might even be better with the transfer portal. Like, what if you went in to one of those schools, like let's say you take a Colorado position and you try to be a Deion Sanders and you meet with your players in the summer and you decide you hold like some type of training camp or whatever and you cut everybody. And then you try to like reach out to these other players and try to like talk to boosters or something and get more money for recruiting. I feel like that could add an extra element that again, with the salary cap stuff, Madden can never emulate. You're kind of like doing shady deals. And if they really wanted to go crazy with it, you could get fired as a coach for like doing shady things against the NCAA. I think that would be funny. I don't know if EA Sports would like to do it. Think of like Grand Theft Auto, but you're coaching. You're like meeting random people at McDonald's and getting like a bag of cash.
See, this is how you'll improve math and literacy. They have to read stuff. They have to count out money.
You're like smooching up with the booster. He opened his own church. And you're like, sure, I'll talk to one of my guys. Let's see if you can donate to your uncle's church. And then that player commits to your team. And it's perfect. Wasn't it Texas? Like that new Texas law passed. And then they went out and immediately bought a bunch of like sports cars for their team. Did you see that?
No.
I'm pretty sure it happened like last week. So the state of Texas pushed out a bill that said the NCAA can't hand down any penalties or something to Texas schools over NIL. Like they're not allowed to enforce anything, which of course, how can that hold up? Right? If the NCAA said, yeah, we're not going to give you guys any penalties, but you're not going to play in the postseason, wouldn't that kind of make their little law moot? Like Texas can't force other states to have them in their playoff, right? So like it's like a Wild West. So instead now Texas is like, hey, we're going to go out and buy a bunch of random sports cars for our players, which awesome idea considering what happened at Georgia in the offseason. Like, yeah, that's where we want to go with this, right? Like a literal arms race where teams are just getting cars for their players and things like that. But I don't know. That's all I have for you. You have anything you want to add?
It's random, but I will say of the NCAAs, I think it was only one and done, or like it seemed like it didn't run for very long. The college NCAA baseball game.
I think it was 2 years, maybe. Which is another good thing, right? Because they try to do it with Major League Baseball where they put in the minor leagues, but like the minor leagues kind of like are just annoying, right? The good thing with like college baseball is like you've only played how many series, right? You could speed it up, play every team like one time, you know, and then you're like recruiting and building your team. Where if you're trying to do the minor league version of like MVP baseball or whatever it was called, what's it called now? The Show. You have to play like 162 games plus the minor league is like 80 something games. So you're simulating a lot and I feel like it takes you out of it. But I wonder if they will bring something like that back. Heck, if they really want to do it fair, bring in softball. I think that would be a better game.
Well, and that may even be
honestly,
a better
right?
To try to generate some revenue for the women's sports. Absolutely.
Because I'm thinking the other easy one would be like track and field. I don't think we really see many Olympic type track and field games. I think like what Sonic and Mario do one. There might be another general one that I just haven't seen like hyped up since back in the day. Because like now the games are kind of like boring. Maybe the Xbox did one when they had its Kinect thing. But you could, I mean, I guess maybe VR. I don't know how many people want to fake run in their with the headset on in their house though, and pretend to run track. Well, at some point, it just becomes a workout, right?
That's how everyone gets to participate in the Olympics. Go ahead, get your headset on. See where you play.
Well, I looked it up. The Olympics is running this week, baby. So we can kind of see how it goes. I'm going to talk about it next week. I was hoping they had some events because I thought I didn't really watch any sports this week because I was traveling. I wonder if there was an Olympics that I could check out some highlights from, but nope. Starts on the 22nd, so we'll see what it's like. They're trying to encourage it. It's the way for the Olympics to officially open up support for esports, is what they said. Which, like I said, I was hoping for like actually just playing Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter or something, not literally creating the same sport in a room on a machine that they already do. Right. Like, hey, we're going to play baseball, but we're not. We're going to cheap out and we're going to play on an old Nintendo or whatever they're playing it on. That's my only other thing for the EA Sports football game. It better not just be on the PS5 and the new Xbox. Because I think that limitation maybe helps overall. But I would like to kind of see what Major League Baseball did, where they forced Sony to put it on the Switch and maybe computer. I don't know if it's on PC or not, but I think that's what they need to do. Because like NHL, yeah, they have a game, but I think the exposure is so limited by not having it be able to play like handheld. Where like growing up, there were how many handheld games? Heck, Quarterback Club had a handheld version. A lot of like the baseball games and stuff. That gives kids a way, like when they don't have the TV, to like play their game. Not everyone wants to sit and simulate, especially baseball, like 162 games tied to their TV. Like, that's some real boring type stuff, right? College football is the same way. Like, the Switch is awesome because you can just, like, pause it in the middle of a game. You could keep your franchise going nonstop. I think people would play a lot more. I don't know. The Switch might be dying, though. They might have a new one coming out soon. So maybe it will line up with the launch of a new Switch and a new college football game. That'd be pretty sweet. That'd be my ideal scenario. Or just put on computers. People can play on their laptops, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's what I would like. People flying on a plane, pop open their laptop or like one of the handheld computer things that they make. And then you're next thing you know, you're playing college football. You could even play, if they add like LAN support, like right beside each other without going through the internet, where two people can play like on the same Switch or on different Switches. They each have their own and you play like sitting at an airport or something waiting. I think that would be the best idea, but I don't think they would implement that because you can do that for Mario Kart and stuff like that. That's what I want for college football. That's the future. What else did I talk about here? Oh, my next college football thing, the blue chip ratio. So I brought that in like a week or two ago, and I was looking at the list of them, and someone else noticed the same thing. The number of players that are being marked as blue chips have increased by like 100. So 2015 or so, there was like 351, 347, 353, right? So around 350 people were blue chips. The last 3 years, 426, 448, 433. It's like 80 players now that are being rated as blue chips that haven't been in the past, I guess. And they're saying it's because of new ratings or like it's easier to rate. How? Like, what has increased in the past like couple years? Like the TV and stuff, the social media is the same. The tape is the same. The players aren't getting better. I'm wondering if it has to do with power programs that are overachieving, right? And so you have programs like Wisconsin and Pitt that have lesser players all the time, right? By the recruiting rankings. And I think what's happening is eventually they have to say like, well, we got to give them at least some blue chip recruits because they're winning the conference. Well, not Wisconsin, you know, but like Pitt's winning the ACC with a bunch of two stars. Like, that's unbelievable. How are they beating like Clemson or whatever? So I wonder if they're playing kind of catch up there, where it's not so much that the technology or whatever, because their ratings, I mean, there's a lot of misses. And they don't have enough scouts to actually go see all these players anyway. So, like, I wonder if a lot of it's just like, hey, historically, we were able to do this, like, for XYZ school. And if they had an offer from their school, like, that's automatically a 4-star. And now they're just like, well, for some of these other schools that are lower, and even with like the push up of schools like Cincinnati's moving up, they make the playoffs. So their players got to get some blue chip bumps, right? UCF's moving up to the Big 12. It's not like schools are getting demoted, right? I feel like more schools are getting pushed up into the so-called Power Five, which then makes the recruiting services look at their schools and say, well, if they're committing to UCF now in the Big 12, they have to be a better recruit than just a two-star or whatever, three-star.
Well, I think part of it, too, is that you have more players that are going to be willing to go to the camps because, like, some of that data that it was down, you know, you got to take into consideration the pandemic, and there are a lot of people that weren't going to camps and stuff like that that was going to affect that ratio.
That's why I skipped those years, because I started 2015, and so there's, like, that was basically, like, the old normal. The COVID years, it went up during the COVID years, but it went up even further, like, the last 2 years. So it's been, like, a steady increase. Like, coronavirus didn't slow it down at all. Maybe it's because of, like, the other recruiting, like, On3 or whatever. Maybe it's, their emergence that's kind of like skewing the ratings by them giving blue chips to people that typically wouldn't have had it. But I don't think that's the case, right? Because everyone would just copy off each other. That's what they do anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's looking at the composite. So maybe you could say like, hey, whatever, but that one new recruiting site isn't going to be able to push up the composite that much unless everyone else has them as blue chips too. So maybe it's like the camps are getting more exposure because, like, is the Elite 11 still 11 QBs or is it more and they just kept the name? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think with seeing some more access to be able to compare these kids to these ones and almost have those profiles, maybe there is a little bit more of a consistency there that you may not think of.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, just looking through the numbers, I just wonder, is it something that's going to kind of go back down? Or I'm thinking we're just going to keep seeing an increase. Because, like, the next thing I had for college, and I have two more things. But the next one was they put out the list of, like, most profitable college athletic departments from last year. 8 of the top 25, I think it was 25, maybe it was 30, are from the Big Ten, including the top Indiana, which no one thinks, like, oh, Indiana, you know, they're really the cream of the crop in the Big Ten. Because, like, in the top 10, you have Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan, which everyone expects, Purdue, and Illinois. And it's like, why are they in there, right? I dog on Purdue all the time. But realistically, I feel like some of these schools are getting the Big Ten money, and they're not spending it. Like, Michigan and Ohio State have big-time budgets or whatever, so they're already in the arms race. No one can deny that. They both have top 5-10 recruiting classes locked up right now for next year. No one can say the same for Indiana or Purdue or Illinois.
Yeah.
So at some point, are you going to invest the Big Ten money? Because, like, I keep saying, going back to, like, the realignment stuff that's coming, everyone keeps talking about, wow, there's a power two. From the ESPN side, there's not a power two in terms of making money. There's a $10 million gap right now between what Indiana's making and what Alabama's making from their TV deal. They don't want to be behind Indiana because you're saying in 10 years, they're going to make $100 million less than Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, Rutgers, Maryland. And I'm talking, they're making $100 million more than Georgia, Bama, all the top dogs in the SEC in terms of TV deals. Yeah, can they make that up somewhere else with boosters and stuff? Absolutely. But at some point, the money has to flow into the athletic department. These colleges aren't going to just let, or these universities aren't going to let the athletics money go back into the academic side. Some of them will give a kickback or whatever, but they're eventually going to start spending it. And with NILs, like I've been saying, you're giving Indiana and them a $10 million fund that can ideally pay athletes and a stipend. That they're saying Indiana was like, what, $34 million over? If they say like, hey, we're not going to really invest in campus anymore. We don't really care. But we're going to just go ahead and put that into a scholarship, like NIL type fund. It's going to be hard for other like universities to kind of match that, right? Because like some of the teams on the list, they have like, they're like the smaller schools. Maybe they got like a donation for like a new stadium or something from like an endowment or like some donor. But the rest of them, it's like, hey, a lot of these like universities are running a negative. Like,
oh goodness, yeah.
Hey, we're losing money, and meanwhile, Purdue and Indiana and Illinois are like, yeah, we don't really know what we need to build, but we have a lot of money. And I feel like if you're not winning, the donors are going to kind of just fall off too. So it's kind of like a chicken and an egg type thing. Yeah, how are you going to get people involved? Like, you can't tell me that Illinois is filling their football stadium. They're not. So they're not just, they're not spending it because they're not, I mean, they were winning last year. They've had a great season. Like, no denying that. But it was the first time in a while since, what, the Zook years? And so maybe they can get people hyped up. But if they just don't care, like, I almost wonder if it reaches the point where the Big Ten grabs a bunch of schools like USC and UCLA, and then they just start dominating all the Olympic sports, where every, like, counting even, like, baseball and stuff, because, like, they're not really in the North, you know? But, like, yeah. USC used to crush it at college baseball. They've kind of fallen off in the Pac-12, you know, recently. They joined the Big Ten and have extra money. Who's to say next thing you know, they're not just recruiting like gangbusters and they're winning the College World Series every year. Same with UCLA. They get back to winning the Softball World Series every single year. And so like now you're in the Big Ten, you're getting the big time money. And now we're just going to go ahead and run away with track. And maybe it's just the California schools now because they have the location, they have the money. Maybe it's some of the big dogs like Penn State's still crushing it in wrestling or whatever, volleyball. And then eventually you have like Oregon that they're trying to keep up in track or whatever sports that they're historically good at. Are they going to be able to do it if they don't have the extra money? Like if they don't get the Big Ten invite, they're going to kind of fall behind. USC will 100% pick up that slack if they start raking in like what Indiana's getting, an extra $30 million, right, to play with. So I think that's where Oregon right now is on the list, and USC is not on the list because they're a private school. But some of the big ones, like Clemson's on here, and you know that's directly related to their success in football recently. Not because the ACC is doing well. Because the only two schools that are on here from the ACC, right, unless I'm missing someone, are Florida State and Clemson. Virginia's on here. But that's it. When you have like Illinois above them, like that should send up a red flag to almost everyone. And then the SEC has schools on here too, like Missouri, that's probably in the same boat where they're getting a ton of money. What do they do with it? Right?
Just prove that you're doing something with your money.
They're not competing. Like I'm sure Northwestern and Vanderbilt would probably be on here too. Because you're not telling me that Northwestern's spending a ton of money to go one and whatever they went, right? It's like
if they spend their money,
they're just lucky they have Fitzgerald as their coach, because he consistently wins and he's a great coach, and he went there, so he's an alum, so like he's not really ready to be chased off, you know, and so they're kind of just good with it, and it ebbs and flows. He has some bad years, like some Ferentz years. Where not, it's a lot lower than what Ferentz goes. But with Iowa, it's like, all right, they're investing because they're not on this list. So they're taking their money, they're investing, they're going to keep trying to compete. Iowa State's not going to be able to keep up. There's no way. So where 20, not even 20 years ago, but like 10 years till now, like their rivalry football game with Iowa State was always really close. In another 10 years, like I could see that just being a beatdown to the point where it's like, do we even want to play this anymore?
Yeah.
Is it valuable? And I don't want to see that, honestly. I don't. Because I'm worried about it with West Virginia. They're on this list. Bob Huggins, he had to resign after getting hit with a DUI. He had his troubles a few weeks ago. Right? I don't know what's going on with him. Seems like he's going on a downward spiral. The craziest thing was he brought in a transfer class that was pegged to compete for the national championship. It was that good. So, like, wow. To have a coach that's probably Hall of Fame, whatever, bring in his best class because of transfer stuff. Because, like, we always complain about, like, Michigan not being able to take transfers, right? Because academic stuff. No snock on West Virginia. But that's one of the benefits to them is they're, because of the state being so small, they're open to transfers, right? They're able to take whoever they want.
Yeah.
And so by having a coach, a historic coach like Bob Huggins right there to take advantage, and then he has to resign because of personal issues going on, has to be a program breaker. There are rumors that like all 8 players are ready to go. Someone said that was just a lie for social media clicks. I don't know if that ever got sorted out. Because sometimes, like, there's where there's smoke, there's fire. The players don't want to seem like jerks, like signing and then, you know, having to go. But they lost their coach. So, absolutely. They should be able to look wherever. But I worry that West Virginia's in the Big 12. They're not going to be getting as much money. It's going to be hard for them in a small state to take that step and become what they were in 2007, right? With the Rich Rod years.
Yeah.
And maybe it's good for Pitt. Pitt loses West Virginia as a rival. Maybe they can elevate themselves back up to getting Pitt versus Penn State. But Pitt could be very well left behind. I don't know. The only saving arm could be is if ESPN and the SEC want like to counter fire and get into the Big Ten territory with the SEC. And they take a Pitt-West Virginia combo. That's the only thing I can think of that would kind of save some of those schools. Same with like Virginia Tech, because they're kind of like dying in terms of success too, right?
Yeah.
A lot of those Big East schools, Miami. There are rumors the SEC doesn't want Miami at all. If the Big Ten doesn't come in and save them, what happens to them? Are they done? Do they join? Yeah. I think they might just join the Big 12 and become rivals with UCF. And that's just the lower tier rivalry, right? Just like it would be like Texas Tech versus Baylor or TCU. Behind A&M and Texas. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have Florida State, and Florida is the premier state rival, right?
Yeah.
Sucks for their fans. But I don't know how else you can go and not make money and compete and then stay relevant. I just honestly don't. It's going to be a weird twist because I think with the expanded playoff, they'll have a chance to make a run, but they have to be able to make it. Like, there's no reason Miami shouldn't have won an ACC title by now. It's almost mind-boggling that Pitt can do it, and Miami can't.
In some ways, though, like, it doesn't surprise me with Pitt because they... Look at the it's staggering how many guys they're putting in the NFL. Like they're doing whatever their sports programming is, they're doing something right that they're making it work.
And that's why I said maybe that's why the blue chip's going up. They see Pitt putting all these guys in the NFL, Narduzzi's still coaching, they're like, we've been doing something wrong. how are we missing on all of these guys? And Pitt's been putting great guys in the NFL. Aaron Donald.
Kenny Pickett.
Pickett, which you want to talk about. You seem like you're not sold on him.
No, I think it's a huge, huge year coming in for him right now. Because for a lot of years, the offseason was truly a dead time for the Steelers. And it was like you would see Cleveland and Washington and Baltimore go out and whoever the flashiest receiver or running back or defensive player, you know, it was, there were a lot of, everyone else is buying big and doing all this stuff, and Pittsburgh would just sit on their hands. Like, they really didn't need to make any movement. And I feel like we watched all last year and complained and was like, the offensive line is horrid, and they addressed it. You know, they flipped as much as you could a lot of those positions around and got new guys to potentially improve the quality of the line. You know, they're addressing tight end. They're trying to build all these, get the receivers around, you know, making trades and doing stuff that uncharacteristically, you know, the changing of the guard in the front office, it feels like all the pieces are there. Like, Pickett has to play well this year.
And I think he's going to see a sophomore slump. I think we have to wait till after the season to see how he grows. Because we see with every quarterback, some come in, they get hyped. I think they can make the playoffs. But addressing the issues and you're playing in the loaded AFC, it just hurts. The AFC is loaded right now. It's not like the Steelers can say, hey, we want to be in the NFC with the Eagles this year. And then they're like, yeah, we'll flip you. Like, that's not going to happen. So they're going to be playing all of these great quarterbacks on the same side. And I just don't see a path for them to break through. Now, if Pickett, I mean, there's no reason why he can't be best. All it takes is one Super Bowl. You force your team through. And I think if he would win a Super Bowl, I think a lot of people would be shocked this year if that happened. But that's the one thing that could separate him from guys like Josh Allen, that haven't even been able to get there. Right? Now there's issues with the Bills locker room, with Diggs and Allen not communicating. And that just spells trouble. So if you're betting on, which we talked about earlier about gambling in the NFL, if you're looking at gambling, now is whenever you look at the locker room issues and you kind of see and say, well, that came out of nowhere. It's like last year with Aaron Rodgers. Hey, we got you a lot of new wide receivers. Awesome. I'm never going to practice with them. And then season rolls around and everyone's like, man, we're really shocked by how awful the Packers offense is. It's like, no, he didn't show up. And they're all new guys. It's not like they're drafting clones where dudes come in and they just know how to play. These are guys that need to learn how to work in the NFL. The quarterback's not helping them at all. And even if Love's there, he's playing a different style. That's why I said they looked better when Love was the quarterback last year, because he was the guy working out with the rookies. So of course it makes sense. So give him a chance, because he put in the work in the offseason. Aaron Rodgers didn't. Now, guess what? Aaron Rodgers goes to a new team. He's working out with them, having a great offseason, not missing any of the voluntary camp. It's like, oh my gosh. He's going to come out with the Jets and he's going to actually look decent to start the year. People are going to be surprised, but don't be surprised. I don't know what the over is for the Jets wins, but like,
he'll be so tired and throwing his arm out from trying to prepare. They'll be like injured, but they'll just be sitting on the sideline with a big fur coat on.
Which that would be funny. But like, I feel like in those scenarios where if I was a betting man to win the division between him and Josh Allen, one guy's coming in, he's hyped, he's winning the locker room. One guy's actively denying issues and like having issues, meaning they have real issues. Don't be surprised if the Jets win that division. I think they would have better odds too. I'm not saying bet your house on it, but that's the kind of thing where it's like, oh, hey, how did that happen? Well, that's out of the blue. It's like, no, if you go back to June 20th and you're looking at the Bills situation where they're having issues with their locker room, it's going to be pretty easy to go ahead and make that prediction, I think. Right? Would you agree, or do you don't think that matters right now?
I don't know. I want to say that it doesn't, but I'm sure it does.
In the NFL, I don't think it matters as much. But like with your Pickett analysis, he's only year two.
See, this is the worry, right? That I have with him going into year two. Say things go sideways and they decide to remove Canada. What style do they bring in then to keep his momentum going? Because I would worry that if you really drastically change stuff, does that put him in a place where he's not as confident, and now you're starting to juggle coordinators, and now you're going to have setbacks? Like, I think with where Pittsburgh is right now, if you boost your offensive line, you can get Najee Harris more carries, and he's being productive with it, and it's not just like Zerway 1 yard gains, that maybe that puts you in a better spot, so that he doesn't have to, like, I think if Canada's going to rely on him to drop back 40, 50 times a game and win it for them, I think that's a really bad losing formula for them.
So they need a pro guy. I know a name that would get you really excited if they brought him in. Gruden, Jay. I think your boy John isn't allowed to coach anymore, right?
Yeah, I think he's done.
But Jay Gruden's available. He's working with the Rams right now. So he comes in, he's a consultant for the Rams, not a big deal. They bring him in to do whatever. His last gig is working with Marone with the Jaguars when they were doing like their crazy losing thing, right? So why not come in and do a professional work just focused on the quarterback stuff? Because I think you have a lot of the key pieces in place. And I'm not saying just him. I'm sure they could just bring in another quarterback guy, but that's the route I would go, is finding a quarterback-centric coach to come in and try to run the offense. I think they need to go outside the org, because I feel like the Steelers have like an in thing where they would be like, hey, we should bring Roethlisberger back. What's he doing? Or like, hey, where's Tommy Maddox? Or like some other random guy that played for the Steelers and like he's like their new guy. So, like, didn't they bring back like Joey Porter and stuff? So it's like, all right, why are we bringing all these same guys back? Maybe it worked though, right? What's Cordell Stewart doing? He comes in, he's a triple threat.
Does he have to coach receivers, or running backs, or quarterbacks?
Well, he's familiar with them all. So he's a perfect fit, a triple threat, they say. A slash. But, joking aside, that's what I would want to see. Doesn't have to be Jay Gruden. I just picked the name because I know how much you love Gruden. All right, so my last thing was with the game. Like, I kind of already talked about it and joked about it a little bit. But the NFL's locking down gambling. They're doubling down. They don't want the players to come in and make any bets. They're going to be actively monitoring it, which honestly is pretty easy, unless they're doing like a proxy But, like, can they really watch players' families and make sure that they're not gambling? Because, like, what if your brother's in the league and, like, Patrick Mahomes' brother, he's, like, doing all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he get in trouble?
Yeah.
I feel like I keep seeing ads and I'm like, I don't care. I don't care what he does, right? It'd be like me just randomly caring about, like, if Harbaugh had another unrelated brother, right? I don't think he does. Maybe he does. And I honestly don't care to look it up, right? Or like if John quit coaching the Ravens and he like retired and it's like, what do Michigan fans want? What do they think about John Harbaugh? It's like, I don't think about him at all. Why would I care about Patrick Mahomes' brother or brother-in-law, right? I don't get it. But let's go ahead and try to come in like the NFL and police this gambling stuff. And it's all over. It's almost like they put it out there this week as a precursor to like maybe some rule changes or whatever. But the rules are kind of confusing. They're out there. They're trying to simplify it. But like, let's say, what do they have? So they have players from the Lions and the Commanders that are missing the entire season. They're confused about how the rules work. And it's like, just don't gamble at all. Just don't gamble, right? If you're a player. I think they should be able to. The rules are not to bet on the NFL. You can't gamble on anything while you're at the team. You can't have someone else place a bet for you. So you can't have a bookie, right? You can't share inside information, and you're not allowed to go even into a sports book, and you can't play daily fantasy football. But you can play fantasy football, right? That's what I don't know. So I should reach out and see what's my guy. Like, hey, Eckler, you want to come in and help me consult for my team, right? Should I play you?
Like when Steve Smith was talking to players, it was like, should I start you on my fantasy team?
Yeah, it's like that. But he's like just part of my team. Because we're the reigning champs, you know, Matt. It's like he can come in. He's just there, like helping out. Like being clout. Like he gets the clout of being a champion or associated with champions like myself. And he's there because he hasn't won a Super Bowl, right? So you start associating with winners and then you become a winner. That's how it works. So I can reach out to him, see if he wants to be associated with my team. Come be a champ by proxy, and then it will help him get a Super Bowl ring. I think that makes sense, right?
I'm glad it makes sense in your mind.
So the rest of it, it's like, yeah, don't ever bet on NFL. It's like, yeah, you're getting paid by the team. But the one thing, like, to me is you can get stock in your own team, but you can't get stock in the NFL. I feel like the NFL should be able to bet only on, like, they should let you bet on your own team. Only on your own team. It's very simple. No prop bets. And they're not allowed to go into sports books. How the heck do you know which ones are sports books anymore? Right? Aren't they popping up everywhere?
Yeah.
You go to buy a beer, and they're like, oh, this sports bar is also a sports book. And you're like, ah, shit. I'm done for the year now. So, like, don't go outside type thing. The other one is, like, so you can't gamble at the stadium. Can you buy stocks? Can you buy crypto? Players are, like, advertising for crypto. That's basically gambling. For even, like, more degenerates, right? You go on. You're, like, shorting stocks. You're like, oh, God. Everything's falling apart. And then Jerry Jones is like, it's fine, though. You're not betting on the team, right? No, it's not really vetting. It's securities. They're like, okay, that works.
Well, I almost feel like it's a playing it safe because where do you draw the line? Where can you do FanDuel, but you can't do this place? Can you do this thing versus that thing? It's easy. It's the path of least resistance is just say, don't do it at all, and then you don't find yourself trying to split hairs over every little thing.
But they're just saying gambling to you is buying a lottery ticket gambling?
Yeah.
So if I sent your boy Lamar Jackson a bunch of scratch offs, and he scratched him. Do you think he should be suspended?
I mean, that to that end, like that's where you start splitting hairs. Like, I think
because you could just go after him. And you go ahead and you win. Like, let's say I'm like, all right, I'm going to spend $1,000 here. I'm going to win, hopefully, a semi-large amount from the lottery. They put me on the news, and they're like, hey, you won it. How do you feel? It's like, well, I felt all right until I have to split this with Lamar Jackson, you know, because he put in for me. He's not really supposed to be gambling, but it's a little hush-hush right now. And then next thing you know, bam, you're taking him down. Right? It's kind of like the boosters that are like, because like there's rumors in the past where like boosters would try to entice kids from other schools to like take payouts or whatever so they can get them suspended. So you have to be careful who you converse with. But like, how long? Like, let's say you just happen to play the lottery with Lamar Jackson right before the playoffs. They would have to suspend him to investigate. They come talk to you and you're just like, oh shit, man, I can't even give you my phone. I smashed it. I just don't want him to get in trouble. Like, and so like the whole time you're just playing defensive and they're like, well, there must be some real stuff if he's smashing his phone and doing all this stuff. Like, they come in and you just have a shredder going. You're just shredding a bunch of stuff and you're like, it has nothing to do with the upcoming Super Bowl or whatever. Because, like, weren't they looking into, like, that was the rumor last year, is like, they were looking into Mahomes as, like, steroid test or whatever. It's like, even if that was a true report, the NFL's not going to sit him. No. You know? So, like, if the only way is if you made a spectacle out of it. Like, hey, I'm playing DraftKings, and you're like, Lamar, we won, baby. We won big. I'll meet you at your crib, like, on TV. And then everyone's like, Lamar Jackson, what the hell? He's associated with this guy? And you're wearing his jersey? Like, it'd be easier if it was like Jameis. You're like holding up a bucket of crab legs. You're like, we're back, baby. Back in business. But just reading the rules, it's kind of insane. It's like, hey, the rules are more complicated if you're not a player. But you're on the list, right? They might call you up. And or like you're injured. Hey, who cares? Right? Oh, so it does. They're allowed to play fantasy football as long as the reward is less than $250. Perfect, dog. Perfect. Southbound Sports sponsors a league. We add in NFL players and we become best friends with them. Right? Like, people come to your house, it's just you and this random NFL player. It's like, yeah, he's in my fantasy league. We're best buds. I text him every Sunday. It's like, oh, cool. It's like church. But that's all I have. You have anything you want to add to gambling?
No.
If you could pick one player to be best friends with and be co-owner of your fantasy team, who would you pick? Has to be current, so you can't throw out like a Sebastian Janikowski or something on me.
Although that would be a hell of a pick. I would say probably Derwin James.
That's your guy?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be like Jabril Peppers or anything?
Well, had he had been available, it would have been a complete game changer.
I don't know why you deny that. If Peppers would have played, he would have scored like 8 touchdowns. It'd have been easy.
It wouldn't have, because his hamstring still would have been bothering him.
No, he doesn't know where to play in the NFL. He plays too many positions, so that's why he doesn't get the accolades he deserves. That's what basically it comes down to. So, if you're coming in, like, that's what you need to do. You need to become friends with a player that can impact your team, and then you just keep nagging them once you get your phone. like like who's a rival. Like right now the Packers are down, so I don't even know who I'd invite to be my buddy. Like Justin Fields, you're just dogging him all day, talking shit on Ohio State. Really really getting in his head, you know, to where he lashes out and does something dumb and maybe hurts the recruiting class for Ohio State, right? That's the kind of impact you need to have. Or heck, like get on Mike Vrabel. Make sure he's in a controversy so Ohio State can't handle him if they hire him if they fire Day. Right?
That reminds me of my favorite quote of the last 2 weeks. Michigan is my last favorite team.
But still favorite team, right? Still a favorite team. Because what was I going to say? So people are starting to hint that if Ryan Day goes to the NFL after this year, Ohio State is open to bringing back Urban Meyer. This is my final bell. How do you think that would go over?
I don't even think it bat an eye. It just roll right in. Although I would say at this point, I think the ship sailed because he, whatever shady stuff he was doing isn't going to fly anymore. I mean, you saw firsthand where with a fair deck, he got smoked in the NFL.
So if he came in and said, ball lifters are back on the table, boys, you don't think that would bring in the recruits?
I'm not thinking.
So I mean, because I don't even know who else they would get, because Ryan Day is winning such a ridiculously high clip. He only loses to, like, the past 2 years to Michigan and Georgia, like, right? Clemson. I don't even know who else he lost to. Oregon, right? If you can count the guys, like, losses on, like, one hand, I think that's kind of a bad thing if you get rid of them or push them out. Right?
Yeah.
I've been told by so many people, they're like, yeah, we can't. If Ryan Day's on thin ice, baby, if he loses to Michigan for a third time, he's done. It's like, he only has like six losses then. What are you talking about? At some point, you want to win a national championship, but it took Kirby some time to build up Georgia. Nick Saban kind of was like going back and forth. Now he's complaining about it this year. Did you see that? It's coming too tough on him. So he doesn't like the new NIL stuff. And last year, his team wasn't even that good. He talked about it just being on recruiting, but you got to coach him up, Nick. Coach him up. So that's my final thing. Coach up your guys. Be ready. Your least favorite is still your favorite. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.